Good morning, church. That was beautiful, beautiful greeting. Wish you a, how should I word this? A blessed, a fruitful, a year in expectation, a year that you're walking closely with God. Amen. And I don't think we can go wrong if we are praying to walk closely with our Maker. Amen. And, you know, right at the beginning of every year, we have these goals, whether it's a physical goal. Man, I want to be able to run 5Ks or walk 5Ks. Or, oh, man, I've looked in the mirror after the last 3 weeks, and some of that needs to be left behind. And how are we going to do that? And we come up with all these goals, or we have a goal of reading God's word from beginning to end, which is not a bad goal, but this morning I'm really praying that our goal can be to encounter Jesus more and more, to love his word, to read his word, to study his word, to enjoy his word, to be challenged by his word, and to love each other deeply, that we're really trying to learn the love of Christ. Now the lights have gone off. I will preach in darkness and I will preach light to all of you. Amen. There are no videos today, so we can have the lights on. Amen. Otherwise, it is very dark up here. Good morning. So we are in a new year. We're in a new season. And we've got a new series. Are you excited about the new series? So let me unveil to you what we're going to be doing over the next few months, actually. So we're going into this the next few months. We aren't going to be studying out one book for a whole year like we did 1 year, or a part of a book, but we're going to be looking at a couple of things. And our theme for the next few months is come and see. Come and see and eventually die for Jesus. So we're going to see, we're going to get attached to Christ, and we're going to want to die for Jesus. Amen. So we're starting off our series with come and see, and then we're going to come and learn so that we can be transformed and changed. Come and trust. Trust Jesus more with our lives, with everything in our lives. It's so hard to trust. It's easy to trust when things are on our paths, but it's hard to trust when they're not. Come and abide with Jesus. And I think a lot of us want to abide with Jesus, want to know Jesus more. Come and love and eventually come and give up your life for Jesus, which is scriptural. And as we die, so we multiply and our lives become this incredible witness for Christ. The seed that is expanding, that is growing in such incredible ways. If you could turn with me to John chapter 1. And this morning we're going to be camped in one chapter. So I'm not going to jump all over the Word of God. I'm going to, we're going to stay in one place. And the message this morning, hopefully something lands. Some seed is planted and God is really working in your life in amazing ways. Let's open up with a word of prayer. And Father, as we still ourselves now, I pray that we can still our thoughts, we can still our minds, we can be present this morning as we know you are present. And Father, that we can feel your presence, that as we read your precious word, you speak to us through your word. And I pray that your word is landing in pleasant places, in soft places, where it can mature, where it can grow, where it can produce something not for our own glory, but for you. Our Father, I do pray that you will move me aside this morning, that it will be your word, that your spirit will speak through me, and that this new series about come and see is so profound, and that it will speak to each one of our hearts, to everyone in this room, to those that are on Zoom. Please, God, do something that we cannot do for ourselves, but you planting it inside of us. In Christ's powerful, precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen. If you could turn with me to John chapter 1. In the Bible or on your phone or scroll there, but promise that you're not going to look at anything else on your phone, that you're not going to look at anything else that's arriving on your phone, that you're going to be just focused for the next 40 minutes here. And it's only 40 minutes. So in John chapter 1, these are just amazing words. In verse 35, it says, "The next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?'" Not a bad question. "They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' They went and saw where you were staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of those two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him." He must have had a great relationship with his brother. "You know, I found something here," he told his brother Simon. "We have found the Messiah. That is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated to Peter. The next day, and so there's a lot going on here. People's names are mentioned. It's quite exciting. And in verse 43, it says, "The next day, Jesus decided to leave Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. It's like saying, "Kloof, can anything good come from there?" No offense, you know. It's like, can anything good come from there? "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Amazing. Jesus is seeing us before any man calls us. Jesus is working in our hearts. Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you. I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." Then he added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." That's our passage this morning. And there is so much there. There are moments in our lives when a simple invitation can change everything. Not so. Come and see. Have you had that before where you've been invited to someone's house for supper? And suddenly you connect, you are with each other, you are staying there late, you are talking, you are revealing your heart, your children are playing with each other's children. It's just a simple invitation. also, your life can change by an invitation to an interview. And you arrive at that interview nervous, practiced, rehearsed, and you arrive there and everything just falls into place. That invitation, that interview was just for you. Or maybe you're invited by a friend, come and meet this friend of mine. And you meet that friend and you're like, oh my goodness, we're going to be friends for the rest of our lives. I can connect with that person. Or someone invites you for a weekend away and you go and spend a weekend with them. And it's like, whoa, that was so refreshing. And here the word of God is just saying, come and see. In John 1, we encounter one of the most powerful invitations in all Scripture. It's such a powerful invitation. It's not an invitation to a place. It's not an invitation to a program. It's not an invitation to a philosophy in life. It's an invitation to a person, an invitation that changed history. And you and I are invited to that. And in 1 John verse 39 that we've just read, and we'll see it up on the screen here, it says, Jesus is saying, he said to them, come and you will see. So they came and they saw where he stayed, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. This invitation sort of launched a movement that transformed the world. Just by come and see. And Jesus today is still calling you and I to these verses, come and see. Come and see what it is to follow Jesus. Christianity didn't start off by some argument. Let me look at the theology. Let me argue about this. Christianity started off with an encounter. With an encounter of come and see. This week and next week, we're going to be looking at a few things here. And these are the three points that we're going to look at. And the first point is come and see, an invitation to encounter Jesus. And that's what we're going to speak about this morning. And then next week, come and see a discovery that changes identity. Come and see something that's going to change your life forever. And we're going to speak about come and see a witness that cannot be contained. And this is all from John 1, and it's going to unpack this all from John 1. Come and see. But before we get into this, let's unpack the book of John and who the author was. The author was the Apostle John, who was a good, close friend of Jesus. They had an intimate relationship. They were incredibly close. And the purpose of John is written in John 20, verse 31. And it's so important to understand this. And this is so great for our hearts because it's so simplistic, but it's all in one verse. And it says, but these are written, so this book is written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in his name. So encouraging. This is written that you and I can believe in Jesus, that we can believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, your life is transformed. So there's action. Your life is changed forever because of Christ. And as you look at the book of John and where it starts off in John 1 verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So right in the beginning, the beginning of things here, the Word was formed, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And if you and I can grasp this and understand this, that every time you're reading God's Word, the Word became flesh, the Word became Jesus, and Jesus' life walked around amongst us. And as we're reading God's Word, it's like, oh my goodness, for me to have this deep relationship with God, I need to be in the Scriptures. I need to be excited about the Scriptures. And as you're reading John 1, it sort of starts off like that with the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was from God. And then we've just read verses 35 to 51, where the Word is calling ordinary people like you and me. And that leads me to that first point, come and see, an invitation to encounter Jesus. Just come and see this invitation to encounter Jesus. And John here himself says in John 1 verse 34, he says, "I've seen, I testify that this is God's chosen one. I have seen him, and I'm witness to this, that this is God's chosen one." Please believe that. I'm witness to that. Have any of you guys watched The Chosen? It's an amazing program about Jesus' life. And some incredible accounts about the chosen one and just the life of Jesus. And very often when you're reading God's Word, it helps to visually understand and actually visually see it played out. And it's super encouraging. It builds your faith. It's amazing. And here we see in John 1, verse 35 and 36, the next day again, John was standing with the two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus. As he walked by, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold, this is the Son of God. This is the Lamb of God." And John's heart points attention away from himself and onto the Lamb of God. John was in himself a remarkable figure. He had crowds following him. He had a voice where he just spoke of God. And people were even wondering, is this the Messiah? Is this Elijah? And it's so incredible. Here, John himself is saying, not me. Here is the Lamb of God. Here is Jesus walking in the flesh. Come and see, he's walking in front of us. And it says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And that's why we're sitting here this morning, because of the Lamb of God. Because that our sins can get washed away, that we can follow Jesus, that we can hold on to this. He wipes away the sin of the world. John was sort of this signpost, but a good signpost never draws attention to itself. A signpost is always trying to point you to where you need to go. And John was that man where he's like, yes, this is where you need to go. The focus is not on me, but the focus is on Christ himself. And that's what I want you to follow. And that's where I want your heart to go. As parents, we are continuously trying to point our children towards Christ. That's what we're trying to do. We aren't trying to point our children towards ourselves, but we're trying to point our children towards Christ. And as a grandpa, my grandpa's stories, I love being a grandpa, and it's so cute when you see young children being influenced. And it's so cute when you're seeing young children being influenced by that, let's just pray before we eat. And so at home, when Hazy Boy's there, we stand in a circle, we hold hands like this, and it's prayer time. And so we pray this short prayer, and then we make a big point by going, amen. And he looks up, and he gets excited like this. And on Thursday afternoon, we are in the circle, and we prayed. And then he walks up again, and he puts his hands up again. He says, let's pray again type thing. And we sort of prayed again. And that influence is we're trying to point our children to Christ continuously. As we as parents are trying to be influenced by Christ, and we're spending time with Christ, we're trying to influence those around us and those in our homes to be influenced by Christ. And that's exactly what John's point was here. In John 3, verse 30, it says, he must increase, I must decrease. This is the one that must increase, and I must become less. And if in life, if we can look at that, it's I must become less and less. Jesus must become more and more in my life. And in the house that we live in, Jesus needs to be in more of the rooms, more of the space, that Jesus is becoming more and more. Something else that we see in what we've read here this morning is Jesus asks one question. So if you had to ask the one question, what would that one question be? And in John 1 verse 37 and 38, the word of God says that two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and asked them and said to them, what are you seeking? So just think about that. This is the first recorded question Jesus asks in the book of John. And it's not a question of what are you believing? What have you performed that is maybe wrong in your life? He's not swinging around and saying, hey guys, why are you... Why are you stalking me here? Why are you following me? He says, what are you seeking? And Jesus is addressing the deepest longings in a human's heart. What are you really seeking? And very often, we sit back in life and we start to think, well, really, what is the meaning of life? Why am I here? What is the meaning of my life? And Jesus was asking that, what are you seeking? Maybe in some other words, it's like, what is truth? And truth can be this thing that's so varied. What is my truth? What is absolute truth? And what is truth from God's word? What is truth? What are you seeking? Are you seeking something that is deep and you're trying to find that truth? And you're looking at it through the lens that Jesus is asking us to look through the lens. Come and seek me. Maybe it's you're living in this life and I want to belong to something. I want to be part of something. I'm seeking that where folk are from all walks of life, but there's something common with them. And there's a joy and there's something that they live for. And I'm seeking that and I desperately want that in my life. I'm empty inside. I think we all seek to be forgiven from God firstly. God, we fall short every day. My sins are there. I'm seeking God, please forgive me. And that we can have a heart to forgive one another. And we let things go. What are you seeking? And Jesus asks this question, I think, that opens up so much. What are you seeking in your life? What is really filling me up? Yes, I have this amazing job. I've got family, I've got friends, I've got all of these things in my life, but am I full? What am I seeking? Jesus' first question wasn't, what do you know? You need to write this exam. His first question was, what are you seeking? And it's a question that stops us, that makes us ponder, that makes us sit and think. It's a question that's like, oh my goodness, what am I really seeking from life? And I think he's trying to point them to this encounter with me. If you're seeking that, you can have a true relationship with me. And we all need that help in life. Have you ever been to a foreign place where you need a guide to guide you through? And without that guide, you can walk around and wander and you can get lost. But when you're in that group and you've got a guide and he's got the maps and he's got the books and he's talking and he's helping you guide through, it's very helpful. And he speaks about this happened in this place and this happened here and this is what it's like here and this is the past and this is the future. And a guide is very helpful. And Jesus isn't just handing out a map for you. He's offering his presence. He's offering his presence. That his presence is around us, and he's offering that presence that you can lean on, you can go to, you can read about, you can open up God's word. The word of God is everything. It's living and active. He's offering that presence. Every person is seeking something. The question's not if you're seeking. I think the question is more is, what and where are you seeking? What are you seeking and where are you seeking that? And what we seek will generally fill us up and will come out from within. And that's what we'll be speaking about. That's who we will be. And Jesus is saying, you know, what are you really seeking here? And that sort of leads me on to think about Jesus' invitation here is relational and not informational. His invitation is incredibly relational. And we see that in John 1, which, you know, which I read this morning in verse 38, it says, they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And he said, come and you will see. And you can read that through a lens of, well, they got the address of where Jesus was staying, and they saw where he was staying. Or you can read that through a lens where they spent the whole day with Jesus in the place that he was staying, and they experienced Jesus. They knew where Jesus was staying, but they spent the whole day with him. So there must have been loads of questions. There must have been loads of interaction. There must have been loads of food. And Jesus is saying, sort of, come and see. Come to this address and you will see where I'm staying. And when you come and see where I'm staying, your life's going to change. You're either going to run away from it, or you're going to stay and you're going to lean in, and your life is never going to be the same again. Come and see sort of means come and walk with me. Come and walk side by side with me, with the Word of God. Walk with me. Come and have a relationship with me. Spend exciting time with me. Come and observe my life. Come and try and find the truth in relationships and the truth in God's word. Come and find that. Come and see. And Jesus is sort of opening up our lives to come and see. I have someone mentoring my life, and we meet once a month. And we met on Friday night. It was amazing. And what he spoke about was the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God. And we spoke about, if you really want to see your life change and become more like Christ, you need to hold on to Scripture. And you need to allow that Scripture to sink into you. And you need to think about that Scripture. And you need to think about your life. And you need to welcome that Scripture into your life, be obedient to that Scripture, submit to that Scripture, hold on to that Scripture, allow the Scriptures to transform you. And we spoke about, as you're holding on to the Word of God and meditating, not just reading, but meditating, marinating yourself in it, allowing it to change you, it will start to change the way that you think. It will start to change the way that you behave in your life. But it takes that the Word of God, like being deep inside of us and wrestling with it and meditating on it. And that's transformation. And that is change. And that is the change that the Holy Spirit wants to transform inside of us. Christianity is not learnt in a classroom. It's learned through closeness. And it's learned through closeness with one another, extreme closeness with the Word of God, extreme closeness with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying to every one of us, come with your struggles. Come with your wounds. Come with your hurts. Come with your questions. Come with everything and come and see. And he's sort of inviting us, come the way you are. You don't need to perform. You don't need to look good. Just come. Come the way that you are. I created you. We can fix this up. We can fix you, but just come. And I can fix you. He's saying, just come the way you are and you will see the power of my word and the power of closeness and a relationship. It transforms. It changes us. When people are excited about something, they speak about it, not so. This last weekend I was away, and it was one of those weekends where I was invited to something. I was invited to this place, and we went along. And I was pleasantly surprised because I learned quite a lot. And one of the gentlemen that was there, his name was Rob, and he was into birding. And I went there, and I've started to bird myself, as you've heard me preach here and there about it. And but I'm a beginner. And when this guy talked, he was like, man, come and see this bird. And he would talk about the habitat, the patterns, the eating, the behavioral, the size, the feather, this, that. And I'm like, oh my goodness, the call, the song, and all of these things. And he's like, come and see. When you get into this, it's going to transform your life. So I said, I'm in this so that I can see more of God in this, because each time I look at a bird, I'm like, this is just incredible, the coloring, this and that. And so I'm speaking about God in every bird, that it's just so beautiful. And this guy was an expert in this. And he says, I'm going to put you on a group. So I said, I'm on a lot of groups in my life. But he said, I'm going to put you on a group in South Africa. And this group, these guys are radical. So I said, okay. Let me learn. And he put me on this group, and every time someone sees a bird, now in Southern Africa, guys, we've got 980 species of birds, more than anywhere else in the world. It's beautiful. It's incredible. And we've got people in this country that are avid bird seekers. So he says, you won't believe there was a bird in Zululand that was found in a specific place, and a guy puts a pin drop there. And it goes on this app. Someone jumps on a plane from Pretoria, flies to Durban, hires a car, drives straight to that spot looking for this bird. Now, no jokes. Drops what they're doing. Excuse me from my work. I need to go. This is more important than anything else. And it's a rare bird. It's a bird that's flown off course, and it's landed there. And this guy that I was with went and looked for the bird. And as he was like walking around like this with his glass, you know, looking, this other person was walking out, and they said, you looking for this bird? I flew from Pretoria to find it. Follow me. I will show you the bird. I'll show you what you're seeking for. They went into the bush, and there this bird was. And the point is this, we are seeking something. Come and see. And at times we sort of resist, like, man, I want to know Jesus the way that I want to know him. That's enough for me. If I just read a bit, pray a bit, this, that, you know, that's fine. And Jesus is saying, man, come and see. Come to my house. We're going to spend 10 hours. We're going to talk. And your life is going to change. Your wounds, everything, your doubts, your questions, come and see. And that's the power of God's words. You can read a menu all day, but only when you order the food and taste the food can you see how good the food is or how bad the food is. Not so. You can sit there and order water with lemon in and, you know, all day and look at this menu, but you have to make up your mind, what are you going to eat? And God's created us in such a way that when you start to eat and your taste is like incredible. And that's why the word of God in Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So you can't eat a bit of God, but you can eat a bit of God's word. because God is God's word. And the more you're devouring yourself into the word of God and in people that are helping you with that, you're suddenly seeing new things, but you're also tasting. And there are three things that stand out there. It says taste, it says see, and it says how good. And we sing at church how good our God is. And each time we sing that song, it does something inside of me. I get quite emotional. How good my God is. My God is so good to me. Who am I that I can even follow him? My God is so good. And the more you're tasting, the more you're seeing, you know, you're going to see how good he is. And when you see how good he is, you're going to want to talk about the goodness of God. You're going to be like that person that flies from Pretoria to go and find that bird, and there's so much excitement, and that's what their life is about. But how much more when we taste and we see the goodness of God? And as we're closing this morning, practically, stop outsourcing your faith to someone else. Don't outsource it. Your faith can't be outsourced. I'm going to get this person and I'll build my faith on that person and they're going to read for me and they're going to give me information and I'm outsourcing it. What we read this morning was a personal invitation. Jesus himself is saying, like, you come and see. And he wasn't trying to show them what home he was living in because they spent the day there. If it was about the address that he was staying in, they would have seen the house and left. And it was so much more than that. It's accepting that invitation and that encounter to have a deep relationship with Jesus that transforms our lives and impacts so many others around us that you can't help speaking about it. But you and I need to make that space. It's not just going to happen in our lives. It's not just going to be, well, I'm just a believer in God. You have to make that space for Jesus. And you have to make that space to really study out God's word. I have to make that space to become a better birder, because at this stage I'm not very good. And I have to be careful what I share with someone. But it's the same thing. It's like making that space for Jesus every day. Talking to him, meditating on scripture, reading scripture, but meditating on it. Being silent with him and receiving from him. Come and see this invitation to encounter Jesus. And that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. As you can see, over the next few weeks, we've got a lot that we're going to be speaking about. And next Sunday, we're going to go back into John 1, and we're going to speak about those other points that we didn't look at this morning. And then we're going to go into the series, and we're going to learn from Jesus. Come and learn from him, and be humble like he's humble, and allow that to continuously transform us. And what we're trying to do this year in our small groups, and this is the next slide, we're going to circle up after church, those that lead small groups, and I'm going to hand you this, and this is what we're going to be speaking about in our small groups this week. We're going to speak about what we preached on this morning and make it personal. And I'm even thinking about that this is going to be sent to you before you meet in your small groups. so that you can go and study it out and read the scriptures. So when you come to the small group, your heart is prepared. You are present. And you're present with it. And the more present that we're with it, and then we're hearing from one another, because transformation is not just your relationship with God, it's also as we hear one another speak about their challenges and the questions that are asked in this, is we can learn from each other and support one another too. And that's what I think following Jesus is about, is we're trying to put this into practice and not just be someone that arrives at church and leaves church, but this is starting to transform us. So every week you'll have one of these, and so we're working on that. Please be praying for those that are working on all of this. But that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here this morning. And my prayer is just that seeds are being planted. And it's not me planting the seed. It's Christ planting that seed inside of you.